One's a former NFL star turned esports coach.
But I was getting the stink eye from my wife. She's like, what you doing? I'm like, nothing.
And one's a dad who can't stop playing Rocket League.
These kids these days, they're like, blah, 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 blah. We're used to jump and run.
Together, they welcome you to Amon Green's Gamers Lounge.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Amon Green, to the Amon Green's Gamers Lounge podcast. We are having technical difficulties. And just learning out this new app, I thought it was easy, and now something got me stuck, but now I got a screen with three people. I'm happy. We just got to work on the audio right now, so just bringing in to the show. So if this is your first time to the show, I'm a gamer. I'm passionate about what I do. I'm a head coach of esports here at Lakeland University. That's where I'm at now, and that's probably part of the reason I'm having technical difficulties because different PCs in front of me from what is at home. So there you go. So I've been doing this podcast with my buddy John here for over a year now, buddy. And we talk about video games. We talk what we're passionate about in the industry. And then we talk about the industry. We break it down, you know, for things going on. And of course, since the show has started, we've been in terms of things happening across the esports or video game world. Things have been happening. So I bring those topics up. Sometimes it's topics that are, you know, uncomfortable and it's or stuff that people need to know about the world of video games, esports, and competitive gaming. And so we do a check-in. That's where we started here. We always check in from the last show. And I say from the last show, it's been a lot of, I say in the greenhouse, so I'll start it off here while we work on John's audio. But it just, we had what, last week in the NFL, which, you know, I'm still a fan and I watch games. So watch the game, watch the Packers game. It was interesting because you didn't know how long things were going to, you know, play out for the starters like Aaron and other players like that. So did that and really just chilled out because I'm back in kind of my home, my subtle chaos here at coaching at esports at Lakeland. Players are practicing right now. And there you go.
Hey,
he's in there.
I honestly, so, Amon, I think it's because I was messing with my computer with some other settings like earlier in the week, and then I screwed this up.
See?
Yeah,
thank you. I'm glad that makes me feel better. So we just relaxed, watched games, play some video games, play some more Halo Infinite. Got to dig into that, playing a campaign, trying to finish it, the campaign. I was scheduled to try to finish it like the week it came out, but that didn't happen. So I'm just relaxing, enjoying a new year. And like I said, just now we're into esports, you know, spring training came right now, watching everybody play. We got a few new players that transferred in through the semester. So I'm experiencing that for the first 3 days of this, I say, of the week. But then season starts in 2 weeks. Everything kind of got pushed back because other schools were having issues with their players with COVID rising up again. So it's just now a thing of, you know, can they be in person, or obviously we're most of them be virtual. But that's kind of gaming in itself. It's virtual anyway. It's built for the pandemic. So that was my weekend. And now I say up to Wednesday. So I will pass it on to John. I didn't get to explain everything to Verta behind scenes, so
we'll pass it
to John, and then we'll finish with you. Since I'm up here messing things up right
exactly,
now.
Exactly, Amon Green.
Hey, you know what, yep. Amon?
John, so how you been?
I've been great, but the way you've handled adversity proves to me just how valuable you were as a football player. You know, when things aren't working well, you keep cool, you keep calm. I'm being 100% serious. Other people would be like, oh, this stupid computer, throw it in the trash. So that's one observation.
User error.
But I've been busy. What I'm really focused on this week is setting up my home studio. Because I kind of started podcasting, like you said, we've been podcasting over a year, but I've been doing it from my studio for about 6 months. And I said, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I don't want this virtual background. This is just somebody's gaming room to make me look cool. I might get a green screen and just do my own thing. I'm going to get lights in here. I'm going to get a little different camera up there. I'm doing it big, Amon, because the Gamers Lounge, we're always on Roku Channel 248 on ESTV as well. And additional devices, check us out there. I was like, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to be on my Roku HD television. I better get a better camera and some lighting.
is Nixon or Cannon. Those are the ones I've seen. Yep. I'm not on that level yet. I thought about it, but I didn't know really. I just kind of learned that I'm watching other streamers stream, and then I see behind the scenes they got this nice. Man. I'm like, ooh, they went big on me.
It's gonna look like a fancy, mini movie but... studio in my basement, and my wife, I'm sure, is gonna love it.
She's gonna love that.
Yeah, my wife is like, Amon, every time something comes to the house. It has my name on it. She just knows it's something to do with video games. Oh, you got another monitor or something? I'm like, no, all I got two. So it's interesting when the boxes come in. So
will you be streaming
in. Oh, go ahead.
Will you be streaming from the university from now on or both?
Yeah. I said we're going to be streaming some of their games, and then I'm going to throw in probably some like just coaching little streams. Cool. Here and since I now got this new setup that I'm still figuring out, but it does work. So do it just like this because it didn't work with OBS for some reason here on campus. I'm not sure if it was an internet security thing, but so I get better streams out there for everybody. So definitely I will be doing that. Mm-hmm. So she already asked me a question, and I'm gonna bring in the most talented. So this was like, okay, so if everything went normal, this is what would have happened. I would say, hey, we're off camera. We're like, hey, Verta, how you doing? How you been? What's up, Verta Maloney? Blah, blah, joke, come on, dream, joke. And then I would have said to Verta, hey, Verta, this is how things are going to happen. This is the intro. We're going to come in. I'm going to say something what I did till last week, and then Jayon is going to go, and then I'm going to bring you in with the heart. What's up? This is Verta Maloney. Blah, blah. So that was supposed to happen now. Let's fast forward. Now where we are. So...
I love it. I love it. You know, I mean,
behind the scenes is fine. Exactly. So the talented, the awesomeness and hilarious and just an intellectual caster. But watching her on her stream last Thursday was probably
was it
the
last?
Best
no,
delight
it was two
I
weeks
had.
Ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago Thursday. It was right before the new year. It was the best delight I ever seen her do. But not only that she games, but she is doing fantastic things in the world today to keep pushing that, what I call moving the chains from what we went through back in 2020. So bringing in the CEO of the Gamehers, Verta Maloney. Verta, how you doing?
I'm so good. I'm not the CEO. I am one of the co-founders. And we actually just like did some changes in our roles. And so I'm really working on innovation this year and thriving and moving into different spaces. So my new title is Chief Innovation Officer. But like, what do the titles really mean? I'm a founder. We do everything. So we kind of share all of that burden and all of the delight. So wait, what am I supposed to be saying? So I have a tendency to talk and then forget what the question is.
Oh no! Just doing what you was doing. That was fantastic. I didn't even get to the questions yet. I was just bringing you in.
Head of the game. Hardcore. I'm like out of the blocks.
Right.
I used to run track, so that. I can like reference track. Don't ask me about football.
Got it. So what we do? How the format goes? We get when we have a somebody special like you that comes onto the show that has big things to talk about. Here we go. I like it. So we start off, our main question, because obviously this is gaming, this is the gaming idea world culture. So what is your video game origin story? So what was the game, who it was, was you sitting down with your brother, sister, mom, dad, and then how old were you when that game hit you? Like, oh man, this is awesome.
So I have two because I think it connects to one founding the company that's called the Gamehers. So my actual origin story goes back to being at the Jersey Shore and playing Ms. Pac-Man on like it at, you know, at the arcade. So that's like so I'm older. It's that melanin, but like, just so we're clear, I'm of a different era. So it was pre actual consoles and things like that. But that's like the first thing. And that was actually going to the shore, which I did not enjoy, and finding a place where I could just like be by myself. And that was an arcade, right? And so it actually wasn't with anyone else. I would say that I enjoyed watching, I enjoyed playing, but back then there was, I don't know, I felt a lot of stigma around being a girl who wanted to like try that out. So I always say that I was like more gamer adjacent back in the day. So like watching other people play or going to people's houses and they're like playing on games. And usually it was boys, right? And so a story that I tell often is the story of like how the Game Boy got its name was just marketing, right? It was like during a time when they had to decide, where are we going to put this, right? And so the Game Boy Boy became the Game Boy because they were like, you know what, we're going to market it to boys. But at that time, it was pretty equal playing field as far as like who was playing, and the marketing just wasn't a thing, right? So then fast forward to meeting my ex-husband, my co-parent in life right now, and we would play Rainbow Six, just the two of us. And this was back in, gosh, what, early 2000s? Maybe even, I mean, this is a while back, and it's it's right. console, it's Xbox. And it was just kind of like one of the ways of, was it Xbox at the time?
I believe it was.
It was, right? Yeah. This was just
360, I think. It was like, so 2001, 2000, somewhere in there.
Exactly. Look at you with the knowledge and the history. And so it was just something that we did together. And I just enjoyed it. And I was also like, I'm like a stressed out player, so things feel really real to me. I think that was just funny. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck is happening? And we're like hiding behind these things. And I'm like, ah, I can't do this. And so that, it was just, it's like high stress. And so what it also says about my origin story is that, and now I game more and I actually play the things I want to play. So I feel like that story is like, first I started off with what I wanted to do, but then felt like there wasn't really a place for me to do that. Right. And also like arcades were kind of hard to come by, right? Like I was living in a small town. It's not like you were finding those so readily. And like I said, I'm gonna date myself back in the 80s. And, you know, so like going to the shore is too. Actually, you know, like going to the beach or to the shore or places like that is where you would like find them. But it was harder and it was kind of coming up. You would find them in like bowling alleys a little bit more, but still it was like a crowd around them and you couldn't really get at it if you were not like a really great player. And then playing something because it was what my husband at the time wanted to play. And now I get to play games that I want to play. And I kind of love indie games. I actually do love Apex. I suck. I'm trash. So like, but that's the fun of it. And
you get better.
You get better. You get better, you know, every attempt. And so that's where I find myself. And so, yeah, so I play with our community a lot and we are pretty hilarious.
Yeah. When I tuned in 2 weeks ago, oh my God, John, it was a delight of comedy. It like, to me, it was comedy genius. Cause it seemed like every move y'all made, I knew y'all didn't talk. Y'all didn't rehearse it.
No,
y'all
didn't talk about
it. It just happened. It just happened. And John, man, I'm like in tears crying. I'm like, oh my God, this is so funny. I said, because I get those moments, those jump moments, scare moments, and like, what the, you know what moments. It's like.
Yes. It was fun. And I have to shout out Lexi the Noob and Werewolf, who are the two, they're ambassadors with the Gamers, and they rock with me on Apex quite a bit. And anytime we play, it's just some random nonsense that pops off. I think people are like, you know, they're trolling. They're like, oh, let's see if Vert is on today so we can just like joke there. So I think
I'm looking at your Twitch stream right now. So that's only on Thursday nights though. People can watch your gaming and comedy.
For me, Thursday nights. We have other programming. We have a show on Monday, but yes, if they would like to laugh a bit, yeah, join me or cry. Like last week I was playing Never Alone and I was like literally boohoo sobbing. So it's all the gamut of emotions. I am multifaceted with the emotions.
Yeah, so you kind of mentioned this next question here is what games are you playing now?
Okay.
You kind of talked about it already, so
yeah. So I
go into why you really like them.
Yeah, I do Apex quite a bit lately, and I have this goal for 2022 to actually like be good. So I'm like literally thinking like aiming practice, like all the things you're supposed to do. So right, like as a coach, this is why like I'm on. You're gonna come on. You're gonna coach me. You're gonna help me out, right? Like, but all of these things that I just didn't do because I was gaming. I game for just kind of the enjoyment to connect with our community and not necessarily like this competitive aspect. But I am a competitive person at heart. So this year's goal is like just to be good-ish at Apex. And then the other games that I play are really indie games. I just love to kind of like find out what the independent studios are putting out. So Never Alone is the one that I've gone back to. I started this game a while back. I should be done with it now based on like how long it should take like your average person to finish the game, but life. And so it's just a beautiful game that talks about Alaskan indigenous communities. And so it's like got just visually beautiful. And like, I'm really invested in this story and that I love about it. And then they do these, they have like documentaries embedded in the game that like where they have literal people talk. It's just so, so beautiful. So a game that's like visually stunning like that are things that I love. And then the other game that two other games that I played a lot last year would be Bayonetta. Bayonetta, she's...
I haven't played that one in a while.
She's doing stuff with glasses on. You know, I've been wearing glasses since I was little. And so there's a lot to be said about seeing yourself in a game. And she's like kicking ass. And she's got these glasses that like don't move. So I'm like, yes, that's me. I could be Bayonetta. Mm-hmm. And I need to get back to, but I did a lot of Red Dead 2 last year too.
Ooh, yeah. I have started that. Haven't finished it. But it's on the list of games I need to complete.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes, exactly. So I have too many on my list of games to complete. Yes, someone said the gun heals on Bayonetta. Just all the things. Her hair is a weapon, like all the things. And my family got me a Switch for the holidays because that was on my Christmas list so that I could.
The new one? The plug-in? Yeah, yes. You hardwired. Nice.
And so nice. I'm excited about that and excited about, I actually wanted to do Animal Crossing for like ever. So I'm like building up my island.
Yeah, that'll be fun. My daughter is big into Animal Crossing, and I actually, honestly, I just sit back and I watch her play and it's so much fun to see her just explore. You get to explore, you get to create. It's a really fun game. Yeah. You're going to love it.
And I would say that the other part of, I think just another part of my gaming story, and when I say I'm gamer adjacent, is because both of my children have gamed. I have a daughter who is 15 and my son is 19. And so just like you watching your daughter, like one of the things with my son, a lot of it would be, and he's a Halo, he's definitely into Halo and FIFA. Those are like his two that I, previously, he might be something else, but gaming with him or even just watching him game was just also an opportunity to have conversation, right? So it's one of the ways that I used it as a parent. And I was definitely that parent that was, I mean, he was gaming since he was 2 years old. People would come over and they'd be like, how is he using this like controller like this? I'm like, because we let him play. Like, that's how you get to learn how to use it. But I also feel sometimes like people just come out with some like innate talents, and he just was like, it was like a fish to water. And so he's just always been really like good with that. And we were a household where like, yeah, game, like, do it, like, you know, have discipline, have other things that you enjoy in your life, but also like this is something you enjoy in your life, right? So do this too. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's what I think about when I think of you a lot, Amon Green.
Thank you
had both of these things in your life that you were really good at, and you found a balance of it, right? Like, and so, and I think a lot of people do. I think that's what we're learning so much more now, like so many people game, it's just a part of like what they do.
All right, you nailed it. You nailed it. You got Eeyore. So Twitch chat, I'm back. I'm paying attention to you now. So Eeyore says here for you. Let me get it on the screen here. I'm doing more two things in one.
Right, it's up there.
Look at you.
Making things happen. Multitasking, the thing that they say men can't do. So I'm bucking that right now.
Bucking it right now. Technically, no one can. Right. But that's a whole other story.
Right. So Eeyore from the Twitch chat says, yes, she is a true gamer. She has a backlog of information. So
yeah, I feel like
one of our. So my community, Verda, here on the stream in Gamers Lounge, and from when I'm gaming in podcast, they notified me that their name is the Greenies. So welcome to the Greenie community. So that was Eeyore.
Hashtag I'm part of the Greenies. I love it.
Yes. Mad Max, Big B, who's in the stream today.
Hey, y'all. Hey, Greenies.
They'll be in the conversation when we get to our fun conversation later on, but we're still talking about you and finding out the things that, next question here, motivated you to create the game Hers, to be a part of that team to bring what is out now.
The story is never complete without saying that things that motivate me are conversations over cocktails. And so I think a lot of great ideas start with a conversation over cocktails. So that's a little bit of how it started. And my cocktail of choice, Greenies, or anyone out there that wants to know, is bourbon. I get down when I rock with bourbon. So just, you know, if you want to send gifts, things like that. It's what I love. And so Heather approached me, and we've been friends for quite some time. Our sons went to school together, grew up together. We did a lot of other things together personally and professionally, and was like, she was at a conference where it was like one of these things, like all these like business guys, gamer, you know, like Goldman Sachs-y people in a room talking about, you know, esports and gaming. It's like this next huge industry that we really want to think about getting into. And they looked around the room and literally could count on one hand how many women were in that space. And so the question right. for us became, well, women game at comparable rates, maybe, you know what I mean? But they're not actually mm-hmm. visible in the spaces where there is one money to be made, recognition to be made, endorsement deals, things mm-hmm. like that. And then what is making the, why is it that after a certain age, and I think they've actually narrowed this down to about middle school and middle school, high school, where girls and other people of other genders that are not male stop playing games like very publicly, right? Or stop going to like the gaming club and stuff like that. So we said, what would we just started talking to like literally thousands of gamers who identify as women and was like, what would you want? And what emerged from that was what we have created, which is a brand and media platform that is in some ways a movement and trying to like make sure that as this grows, that we remember that women, we remember that our non-binary community, LGBTQ plus community, all of those people mm-hmm. that we don't think of sometimes as stereotypical gamers, are gamers, right. deserve to be here, need to be a part of this, right? Like, and so that's a little bit, I think that that's like the drinks and making sure that there's like women up in this piece are the basis. And the other thing that I want to say is like, it wasn't that we were, there's so many dope organizations out there doing this. This is not something where it's like, ooh, we came up with this brilliant idea. We collaborate with so many people, Wiggy, there's IDGA, there's like all of these amazing, Queer Women of Esports, all these amazing organizations that have been doing it. And very much from mm-hmm. the nonprofit side. And we were like, wait, we want to put money into the hands of, and we want to be, basically we say that we are a for purpose and for profit company. And so how do we do that? So mm-hmm. that's a little bit of the motivation behind it. And I say a lot, like what I said about Bayonetta is kind of half funny, half true. Seeing this woman with glasses, right? Do something. But the bottom line is if you can see yourself in it, then you can actually imagine it for yourself in the future. And so the things that we want to create, like the awards and different things like that, is so that young people can see, look at all the people that do all this stuff in the industry. And some of them look just like you, as opposed to none of them looking at all like you. And then you thinking that that's not a possible outlet or career path or what have you. So,
You know, exactly, Verda, you said something that really interested me. You said that most women or girls by, I think you said middle school, or what was the time frame? They kind of
middle school. Yeah.
They leave the gaming community. So what did you find as to the biggest reasons why that happens? And how do you try to prevent that now? In what ways can you prevent some of those biggest reasons for pushing females, pushing women outside of the gaming industry?
It's a great question. And the thing that I want to say to preface that is there's been research done that actually proves that regardless of your gender, gender is not a determiner on how good you are or are not in a game, right? And it's similar, you know, so that's just like, if all things are equal, I have access to the equipment, I have the opportunity to actually get in some playing time, et cetera, like all those things, all things are equal. The reasons that the drop-offs start to happen are, stereotyping, like, so thinking that I don't belong there. So it's become that gaming is seen as a male dominated, the predominantly white male dominated space. And so then it's not for me, right? The second thing will be, and you all have experienced this, the toxicity and the harassment that takes place in a lobby. So like the bottom line is that's just like at a certain point, you don't want to deal with that anymore. You cannot, like, you can't. And there's this term called, like there's a psychic burden, like meaning like psychologically, not only do you have to think about how to play the game, you also have to think about all that stuff you have to try to block out, right? Like I think it's something like 59% of gamers who identify as women will turn off their voice, like turn off all sound in order to just try to focus on playing the game. So the second one is around the toxicity and the harassment. And then I feel like the third is that it's connected to the toxicity when it's kind of like people like to say things like, well, that's gaming, like buck up, that you got to deal with it, all that stuff. And the thing is like, but do I? Like, it's like when you are, and I think we had talked about this at a different time that we were together, Aman, like when you, when you're talking about gameplay, that's one thing. But as soon as you cross the line and you're talking about something, you're talking about me being a woman, Like that is, mm-hmm. that's about my person. That has nothing to do with me being trash yeah. over here. And like, not like, you know, you didn't get the kill. Like what? I set you up. Like, why didn't you do that? Is a very different conversation, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, get back in the kitchen. You're a woman. You need to be cooking my food and cooking my meals. That's why you suck at the game. Two very different ways to kind of approach the same mm-hmm. issue. Right. And so, so that being the third part is that needing, honestly needing men to like men and young boys to understand how to be in that space and actually be upstanders, be people that actually mm-hmm. can help to shut it down. Cause it's going to take all of us, right? Like this, not going to, it's not a problem to be solved, quote unquote, by women or other marginalized, you know, groups. It's about all of us coming together yes. to solve that. Right. So yeah.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. What you said right there, just the understanding of, you know, what can drive somebody to do something and then yeah. obviously help other people along the way in the process to hit kind of their goals. So I love it. Yeah. Love it. So you got something. So beyond, you know, getting that started and mm-hmm. Telling that story there, tell us about the app for the Game Hers.
Oh yeah, we have an app. It just launched and it is a bright spot in everyone's day because we're creating a like good vibes only place, right? And we have like really, you know, hardcore, you get banned for certain things. Like we're just really hardcore. And it's almost, I would like to say that it is a growing social networking platform for that centers women who game. And creating a space. Mm-hmm. And when I use the word centers really deliberately because we center women, it means, and we accept all, right? Like it's not that it's only for women, right? But that's who we center. And so centering a group of people means that you're thinking about all the things that could be challenging for them and not bringing that here. And so it's really just, you know, so it's called the Gamers app. You can download it on Android and iOS, and it's just like really good vibes. And people can talk about mm-hmm. their pets. People can talk about gaming, right? Like I think what yep. What is the thing that sometimes is forgotten is that we are human beings who game, right? The game is not just that thing. And so what are the other aspects of our beings that we want to bring into conversations and meet other people who might have these similar interests? And don't think that it's like not a cool thing to have these other interests in addition to wanting to be really good at whatever particular game. And also kind of, I think battling this myth that if I play The Sims regularly makes me not a gamer, right? Because there are certain games that people are trying to say, or that's, oh, it's only if you play these hardcore games, only if you're like League of Legends, or if you're, you know, or Apex, or like, you know, I can't remember all the titles, but you know, the ones that are mostly like the competitive titles. Yes, that's yes. a certain mm-hmm. type of gamer. But I think I liken it to traditional sports, right? Like you don't ask a sports fan who might actually play, you know, they're like, they're not an NFL player, but you can still be a player of a sport, right? Like I have mm-hmm. my best yep. friend has played soccer her whole life and she played, you know, when she was younger, but also now plays on like leagues that are for people who are not in college, right? And that's still a player, even though you might not see her on television. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that's still a player.
Yep.
Why would you diminish yep. that? Actually, you should probably give her more props than anybody else because she's a woman in her 40s, still out here running with you young ones and scoring goals. So like, come on now, like yep. let's give, you know, give props where props are due. So I think it's also dispelling this myth that only one type of game makes you a gamer. And also that only one right. type of gameplay makes you a gamer. So,
yeah. Yeah, that the first one there, I was like, that's the first time I heard that. Just thinking about that, like, okay, you play certain games. This is your, I like that. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So through that, I know this John got a question here popping up.
I mean, you mentioned the toxicity in gaming, and the Game Hers app seems like a solution to that. Is a mm-hmm. part of what are your solutions to that? Is let's yeah. create this community with good vibes. Eeyore on the chat says boys are immature and toxic. Kind of mm-hmm. trying to summarize what's going on. So how do we stop the toxicity in gaming? Is there an answer or is there a plan or?
There's not one answer. So like, right. so we say, right. Like I was speaking mm-hmm. from Virta's perspective, but there's like, this is multifaceted and it's going to take many different people and many different solutions. I think some of which that we haven't even thought of yet. That said, there are organizations out there that are doing certain things. And so I'll name like three things that I think are really important. Boys, I would say can be immature and toxic. not are immature and toxic, because the can be means that we can actually take, we can change that behavior. We have to not accept it as just what it means to be a boy. We have to accept it as behavior that they're socialized, because sometimes, like, I'm going to be really honest, it's not always that the parents are talking like that. It's that they get in a game, their friends are talking like that, or they hear this and they don't know how to handle that. Right. So the saying that boys can be immature and toxic means that they can also be mature and supportive. And what will it take for us to do that? And so I think, like what you had mentioned already, John, about watching your daughter play, I think we do as parents and as parents, as caregivers, as the adults in the lives of young people. And when I say young people, I'm going to talk about K to 12 right now, right? Like, so, you know, elementary through high school, and sometimes high school, you're not as involved, but if you were involved from K all the way up, you will be able to be involved. Play with your kids, watch them game, be there so that when something like, and have the sound on, if you've got kids who stream, like be in their chats, like do that stuff so that you can then have the conversation about, you know what, that was actually really immature and toxic, or no, we don't say that, here's an alternative. So the first thing is that all of us need to kind of wrap ourselves around these young people and say, we are here to help you and guide you, and say that there's a different way to be. So that's the first one. The second is connected to the fact that there are organizations like AnyKey that have, like, they have training that you can look at. And this is, as we get into, I think, the competitive, like esports clubs, as well as esports teams, is training for, right? Training for your players. So really, like, go in there and see, like, have a code of conduct that you actually stick to. That's not just a piece of paper, right? That actually is a living document, right? Amangri, and I think you talk about times where you're like, yeah, you're out of the game. Or, you know what? You got to give me some push-ups. We talked about that language. We don't use that here, right? Like, and, you know, using things that are like, you know, that's, there's a whole other conversation around the fitness. And like, we actually need to like really, really engage in the physical and mental health of gamers, right? Like of professional gamers, right? But that said, like treat it as if it were another infraction in another place, in a caring way and in a way where you give them an alternative for what they could do instead. But that you have to stop it in its tracks. We are here and we have to stop it as the viewers, as people. And this is for like the greenies, right? If you're in a chat and someone's getting toxic, you can stop that. It doesn't have to be here. You can do that elsewhere. So that's like number two, like you have to do that. And then I think the third is connected to what I was saying before. How do we stop it in gaming? Is that one, all of us take responsibility for it and acknowledge that. And I say, and I'm going to say right now very specifically that men take responsibility for the role that it has played and work together to unlearn a lot of things and then like just change that narrative. And when I say unlearn and take responsibility, it's not just saying, we're sorry, here's a settlement. It's not just saying, we're sorry, we just hired four women that are now our CEO and all of these executive, right? Because that only changes the face of it. Did you do anything that actually changes that culture whereby they will stay in those jobs? And that is a lot of unlearning. And for people to just, you know, and I know it's a scary thing. I think people are scared. Like, it's really scary. They want to get canceled. This thing's going to get, you know, all these things. We got to really break through that and start like learning and learning publicly about what it means to be, I'm going to use the opposite, like a mature and supportive ally, man, like in the space. And those are just conversations we have to have. And I think this is one of those things, the fact that we're literally talking about this here is part of it. And I think when I was on the MAGE panel, I'm probably not even saying that. I just made up how to pronounce the acronym.
You said it right.
Okay, good. right? Like even just having that and having that panel, and like one of the panelists reached out to me and we're scheduling some time to talk. It's like starting to like, you know, spread that. Right. But talking about it, because there's been so long where nobody was talking about this. And then like literally acting like we're crazy when we say, no, that really does happen. Like you heard it, but you're now saying that it doesn't. So those are the three things that I would say.
That's really cool. Real quick, Amon. I love your first point there, Verda, about becoming more involved with your children when they're playing online. Because I think maybe people of a certain age, we all got into video games and there was no online chat. It was the cartridge and you put the cartridge in. Why do I have to worry about other people? The world has changed. Your children are now gaming with people from all over the country, all over the world. Yes. And so, yeah, I think that's pretty important. I think that's a point that I think maybe a lot of parents miss out because they don't think about the community aspect of gaming. Yeah. That's they're in the old school view of gaming.
Yeah. And they also don't, you don't have to be good. Like, it's not about that, right? I think sometimes as parents, like, we're thinking we have to be the expert at this thing, or I can't do whatever. You actually probably don't even have to actually play. You could just be there watching and be engaged with the conversation or the stuff that's going on, but just get in it, right? Like, really get in it, and don't just like hand it off as kind of like, well, I, you know, or be scared of it even. It's not something I want to learn or whatever. Just you'd be in the room.
Exactly. I see. I mean, that brings me back to when I was, I first got my, between ColecoVision and Nintendo, my dad, even though wasn't really good at it, he would just sit down there and play with me, you know, and he knew something, you know, by the time, about a month in, he's like, I'm going to lose this game, or Tecmo Bowl or what have you, but just having him there to teach me like certain, you know, certain, I saw the way he would react in a loss. And he was like, oh, good game, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then, but then my moment as a child, my first, and John knows this story, and a lot of the Greenies know this story. My first and only rage quit in a game was when Madden came out, probably like 1989. This is 12-year-old Amon playing Madden. And I, to me, I'm like, the game is cheating me, because I tried to throw a deep ball to Jerry Rice, and Jerry Rice didn't catch it. It was incomplete, and I lost the game. So I threw the controller down. I'm like, ah, my mom come to the door.
I know.
What's wrong with you? What you doing? What's all that? Hold on. What's all that noise? So she saw what happened. She looked at me. She looked down at the floor. It's like, oh, that's your, is that your controller? Does it
exactly
like it broke?
All calm like that too. I bet too. She was calm.
Exactly. It goes. And then she goes, well, you know what? You break it, you buy it.
Amen.
And I was like, huh? I was like, whoa, I'm broke. Exactly. I have no money. And I was like, done, boom. And that was like that, and since, what was that, 12, and still haven't had one a rage since then, you know. And just you know, just having that, like you said, having that awareness to be there while they're doing it, because I explain to people all the time with where esports is, it never had the foundation of, you know, having little leagues yet. It's getting there now. You didn't have a coach saying hustle work like this, and this is how you talk to your team, your team or your teammates or the other team in the game. They didn't have that for at the time, and so now it's here. It's building in our world right now. So that's the beautiful thing about that.
You know, that and
gamer.
This, I'm gonna say this one. Like, I don't know, JF Cakes. I think, don't people think people are really thinking straight when they play sometimes? And I think it, why it connects to, for me, it connects to what you just said, which is around, but there was someone there to come in and help you think right. And I think, If you, you know, repeated behavior becomes a habit. This is why it's so important to like really be thinking about this. And it's, so I'm talking about the parent level. I think there's things that game devs can do. I think that studios can do, like all of that, to kind of like create communities amongst their, within their games and in their brand. But the thing that changed that is that someone came in to say something to you, right? Oh, okay. You break it, you buy it, right? Like, what are you doing in here? And so that, that stayed with you. And I think that's also what has to happen. Yes. People, I think people need to actually realize that I don't think straight when I play. So I'm going to have to think, I'm going to have to cause some friction here. That's like a part of it. And yes, I think that that's, I think it's so true. People get really caught up in the heat of the moment, but then there's no consequence for how they got caught up in the heat of the moment, or no redirection when they got caught up in the heat of the moment. And sadly, we are in a place where getting dropped is the only thing that they recognize, because it was years. That didn't just happen in that moment, right? This person has had to have been doing it for years of gameplay with no real consequence for that intervention. And sadly, that is the consequence now. But I think that can change drastically for younger players, right? Like, it doesn't have to end here for players. I think if we're starting in middle school, high school, all of that, and then college, like really being there, I think it could... we don't have to get to this place, but that's a really good point.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of college, you know, you're working with, or you know, you're aware of a network out there called the College Network. So explain that to us. And, you know, we're, like you said, with all the like we just both mentioned about esports and where it's going and where the foundation needs to start. So now you're going into the college area. So what are you doing there with College Network?
So our collegiate network, collegiate division, is relaunching. Well, we're already in the process. And so what we're doing is we're creating chapters of the Gamers, and to do all the things that we just talked about, right? So I just finished doing a focus groups with a group of amazing, amazing like college age and college going people in December, and just talked to them. And they were all, it was all women and non-men. Like, there was one actually, no, they were all women and non-men, because we wanted to like get their perspective on what do you want? What do you need? And the thing that struck me as really sad is the things that, I don't know, I think I had this notion that like this younger generation, they kind of like call stuff like it is. They're like out there dragging people for filth. They're like not tolerating anything. And I'm like so here for it. I love them. I just don't think, I thought that that meant that things were getting better for them when they were playing, but that's not the case, right? Not everybody has an Amon Green as their coach. Not everybody has someone that's like leading the team that's not, that's overly concerned about what it means to win versus what it means to actually win in life and be a decent human being, right? And so some of the stories that were shared were just devastating and heartbreaking of the toxicity that is still existing on college campuses. And so we just realized that, like, that one of the places that we can have a real impact and do all of the things I listed before, and help like young people as well as administrators do that, is in collegiate. And so we're just looking for colleges that want to sign on as a chapter. They'll sign a code of conduct, and then we're just going to be offering different things, leadership opportunities, mentorship, like try to really get them, get the young leaders of esports organizations, get them the support that they need. We're going to have a dedicated Discord server just to really support them, so that we can start building the future that we want, instead of reacting to the present that we have. So I think that that's a little bit of what our collegiate network is. So you can go to our website. If there are people out there that are in college or no college folks, just like send them my way. And we are just looking for people to sign on, and that way to start to become ambassadors for what it means to create a collegiate program, right? That is really wants to be equitable, fair, diverse, and just like a dope place to be. Because the other thing that came out is like everyone started gaming because it was supposed to be fun, right? It can be competitive and fun. It don't have to be competitive and like I'm boohoo and I like don't make it to the next season because I'm so upset because it was just like so toxic.
No, I get where you're going, because you like you put all that effort in, and you just right there. That program that is going on right now, that's amazing. And like you said, it takes people basically to say, I say, put the plan together to say something, you know, and keep the ball moving and making sure the players are learning certain ways and learn the things to develop into a better person and a better gamer, all at the same time. So
Modeling it when it's hard. Because I think the other thing is that it can be really hard. Look, I've been in, so my other work right in life is that I do anti-oppression work all over. I've done it all over the country. Like I go to small places. I've been in like Des Moines, Iowa. I've been in rooms where I'm like the Black person standing up there talking about, we have some racist things that we need to handle. So I get what it means to be uncomfortable in a moment. I also understand that if you step into that gap and like be someone who is, I think, courageous in those moments, and this is for the adults and the people that are like, you know, on teams, because you like a lot of times, honestly, like 90% of people don't even want it to be like that. They just don't know what to do when it happens. Like they don't talk like that, but this group is like really toxic, right? It kind of, it's like a little virus, you know, to use a term that everyone knows about these days, but like it's a little virus that spreads everywhere. But if you can be the person that like steps in, people will see, oh, wait, all the other people who kind of wanted to also will start to do it as well. Right. But that takes a lot of courage and it takes. And I think we just need people that are going to be courageous like that. We need so many more of them. So, yeah.
Definitely. So something I definitely agree in these next two questions coming up at you. And I just took what you sent me in terms of questioning. And I was like, I'm not going to change much about it because it's.
Yeah, please don't. I was like, I said, do your Chibata. Like that's what I said. It's perfect. I was like, I like that Chibata. Bake it up.
So this question here. All right. For everyone. So why should folks not wait? Cause I know why. I mean, I know the answer to this question. Okay. Why should folks not wait for Black History Month and also Women's Month to have us on their platform? Why you wait till then? Okay, it's February. Oh, let me call Verda. Let me call them all. You know, why should be a 12-month thing, 365. Yes. All right.
365. So tell us about that. Well, from the business perspective, it's just good business, right? Like, so if anybody's out there that's like, oh, we don't want to create this because it's actually good business to have as many diverse voices in the room, creating your content, doing your thing, like creating your teams 365 every day of the year, not just in the moments where you want to highlight that one, right? So first of all, it's just like, it's just good business. And I think people, you know, I will speak to one of my idols in life, Rihanna, who was told countless times that she could not create makeup for that many shades. She could not create a clothing brand that would be so inclusive. And she was like, you know what? I'm gonna do it anyway. And now everybody's trying to be Rihanna. They could have done it like 15, 20 years ago when so many people were telling them that this would be the thing, right? So like, if you all love Riri, like, you know, she's a model here. I think the other reason one is it gets exhausting, right? Like when people ask me like what the future, an inclusive future would look like, is that we would go to something like PAX. And I've been to a couple of them where I sat on panels that were about how to create safe spaces for women, how to create more diverse, equitable, inclusive spaces, da, da, da. And most of the panel is women or, you know, non-binary folks or people in the LGBTQ plus community. Like, we're the ones on the panel. And what I would love to see is a panel that looks just like that, that's just talking about the metaverse. A panel that looks just like that, that's talking about how to build your esports brand. Or a panel that looks just like that, that's about, I don't know, how to, you know, bring together traditional sports and esports, right? So every panel idea that exists that's usually predominantly men should also have Black folks on there. 365 should also have women on there. 365, right? And I think the reason is because our history is, I'm going to say American history because I'm American. Like, it is. We are a part of the fabric of everything. We should still also have moments that highlight us, because if you look at all of the statistics, right, the gender pay gap is alive and real. The racial disparity in wealth in this country is alive and real. What, you know, the land that has been taken from Indigenous folks that needs to be given back, alive and real. So yes, we do need, I'm not saying to get rid of Black History Month. I'm not saying to get rid of Women's History Month. I'm saying that in April, please include Black people and women in whatever topics that you're going to have a panel about. In, you know, August, please include the LGBT community, not just in June because it's Pride Month. Like, just do it all the time. Do it when the moments that you need to highlight us, and do it in the times where it's about all of the things that happen. Because without doing that, we're then not in rooms that we need to be. And then I become just the face of being a Black woman. And you don't want to do that. There's no reason to do it, right? Because right. Because as you said, I'm funny, I'm awesome, I'm charming. I got all these other things to offer. It's not just that. And that's icing on a cake. Da, 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 da. So those would be my reasons. What's your reason?
Oh, man. I say for one... I say just to have to bring that change. I'm gonna be a catalyst. I like to be a catalyst in what I do, because obviously people ask the question, Amon, why are you coaching college esports? You could be at, you know, this school or this pro team doing this, or you could be retired. I'm like, well, I know I'm a busybody. Let's just start that. But then also I know the effect that I could bring on a young adult, knowing my history and knowing my experience being a player in the NFL, a Division I athlete, and what that mindset needs to take. It's a mindset that basically you got to understand the things that you need to do to get where you want to go. Yeah. You know, and it's going to be a lot of choices made, and just thinking about, okay, I got this choice or I got this choice. It's like red pill, blue pill. Mm-hmm. You take, you know, one of them is going to work, but if you make the wrong decision, you're going to have to, you know, pay for that, you know, and learn from that. I say, if anything, when you make a mistake, learn from it. But then, you know, it's one of those things, like I said, young adult, young person, gamer, definitely can, relate and learn that in the process.
Yeah.
Yep. So, all right, Verda, I don't have the audio for the fun stuff. So for once, before I move on there, great, great conversation there. I love it. You said some very important things. They're very, very true statement and stuff and things that are basically need to get done. So now we're going to have a little fun.
Wait, but let me say a thank you, though, because you all did not wait until Black History Month or Women's History Month to say, like, Verda, come on. So I'll come on then, too. So, you know, I feel like, you know, we're building a relationship. I think, you know, we're going to, that said, like, you didn't do that, right? And I think that that's important, because this is really about us being people that want to have a really great conversation together. And I think that's, like, the core of it, right? And be a catalyst for change. So I want to thank you for that. So let's get into the fun.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Verda. So, no audio. So, I'm going to do this. Or that.
Oh, okay. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I just did my own sound effect. What am I about? I love it. We have to make that a sound.
This or that.
All right. This is the new sounder for this segment, Amon.
This
or that. All right. And by the way, Verta, this is all from the mind of Amon Green. So if you have any issues, just blame that guy.
All
right. This one's a fun one. This is a fun one.
Okay, I'm excited.
Good.
It's simple. It's a simple one.
Okay. Avengers or Justice League? This or that?
Avengers.
The Avengers. You seemed pretty confident about that.
I was ready for that one. You had me at Avengers.
Okay. I'm with you. I think the Avengers are whatever Marvel has done with the Avengers and all the Marvel universe. It is so entertaining. There are endless storylines and they grab you with their graphics and their stories. And it's the Avengers. And I don't know why, because the Justice League is stacked. I mean, you got Superman over there, so I don't understand it.
But really, you know, like, you have Superman, but that's kind of like all you have. I mean, I think we got to fight probably in these comments.
Batman, don't diss Batman in front of him.
Okay, sorry, but the things I'm going to say too is that Avengers, look, all of them, I could talk about the problematic things, but the things I'm going to talk about are the good things, which is how multi-layered Avengers are, that they can have all of the origin stories for days. Because there's so much that you could go into for each character. Like, they did that work. They planted these beautiful little seeds and nuggets throughout that now they're reaping the benefits of that. Because I'm going to watch an origin story for days. I'm in Daredevil right now. It's season two, I'm just getting through because my son is like, you have to make it to season 3 because it's so good, Mom. I'm like, all right, fine. Because this season 2 is not like whatever. But, right, you got Punisher in there. And now, you know, like you have all of these and that, like the levels. Sorry.
Avengers. All right, there you go. We had that from the Twitch chat right there. All right, Vertigo, on with your best stuff. We got Big Boom Howard says Avengers. Yes. And JFK 305 says Avengers as well. I'm a Batman fan. I think you knew that. So
yeah. It's okay.
But unfortunately, I can sway sides here only because John said Avengers, and then I'm gonna go Avengers as well because, like you, for your reason, that's why I did one of these because you said exactly why. Because Marvel before Stan Lee passed, he laid out that script similar to George Lucas of how to tell this story and get it done the right way. And
right. All right. Awesome. Okay. Do the sound.
Oh, this or that.
All right. We're going Disney princesses for this or that.
Okay.
Is it Belle from Beauty and the Beast or is it Cinderella?
Come on. It's Princess Tiana, y'all.
Oh, okay. You're going.
It wasn't even an option. I'm going new. Let me
Princess
tell you
and the Frog.
Why.
You're going Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog. Oh. Let me tell you why. Okay. So I have a daughter who was she's not into princesses now, but when I say growing up, it was like princesses for days, but I wanted her to see herself as a princess. And when she was little, it was like a year before when she was like really in the thick of it, Princess and the Frog was going to come out. So I waited. I did not let her see a single other Disney movie until that. And like Princess Tiana, was her jam after that. And so this like goes like really back to before what I was saying, the ability to be able to see yourself and as a princess, like that was it. So sorry, it's Princess Tiana for me.
Good
answer. Princess and the Frog. Now, problematic that she was a frog for like the lion's share of the movie, but that's a whole other thing.
I love it. I should have did my homework.
That's all right.
All right.
Let's go. Sound. Do you do the sound for every time, or is it
only
for the?
I don't do the sound for everyone.
Okay, who did you pick?
Oh, who did I pick? I'm gonna probably just go from my childhood memories. The first like princess movie I do record like and remember was Cinderella and the whole story behind that. So,
John, I know do you have one?
Yeah, I know too much about princesses. Between these two, my daughter is going to be 9 years old next month. I'm going to go with Belle between these two. She's well-read. You know, she loves reading books. But if I had to pick a princess, my daughter's favorite princess is Ariel from The Little Mermaid because she's a mermaid. And
she's a mermaid, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really top that. So my favorite, personally... is Rapunzel from the movie Tangled.
Oh,
I don't know. I love her songs. And
yeah.
Yeah.
All right, some good ones. Yes, there you do. You do here. Have quite. You do have quite the knowledge of princesses, John. Yeah,
I know it all.
I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
I think yeah, definitely got me beat. I have no kids in the house at all. No, that means no age group. So you got me beat there.
Well, your next question, Amon, is a pretty. I mean, Anna,
that's another.
Anna,
I didn't realize it. I just felt. I know. I looked at it. I'm like, oh, now I'm looking at. Oh, it's the same question almost.
Oh, is it the same one? Okay, let's see.
What's the same Frozen? Category. Frozen, the sisters, Elsa or Anna?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Anna.
It's Anna. Okay.
It's Anna. Anna, because I think Anna's just quirky and Anna's doing her own thing. And yep. Anna is she loves hard with boundaries, right? I think like the best thing about that is like she definitely loves the people, her sister, she, you know, all of the people in that. Yet she's also good about setting her own boundaries. She's like, no, I don't want to get married. Like, what is that about? Like, no, that's not what this is about. Oh no, it's my sister is my true love. Like, and that's cool. Like all of that. So that's who I'm going with.
All right. We got Ear from the chat says Princess Leia. He went on to a whole nother world.
I know,
another,
whole other world.
A galaxy
said,
far,
you know
far
what?
Away on us.
Forget Disney.
That's way that way.
I love it.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I'm going to go with Elsa simply because she has powers. So she has like, you know, the ice powers, which is pretty cool. And she can, they both can sing, let's be honest.
They
but
yes, they can.
I mean, Let It Go. She can belt that out.
It's like, it's a banger.
It's a banger. Yeah, it is. Oh man, so for myself, I'm gonna probably go Elsa as well. Anna. I'm gonna go because I like her little rebel side of her bucks everything a little bit. She's gonna question it or not just do it at all. I don't like to do that.
Exactly. No, I'm not doing that. All right, good one. All right. What's next? Okay. I like this game.
All right. Now do we get another sound effect, Amon, or are we
this or that?
Love it. It's getting better too. Like each time, it's like really, you can have a lot to work with there, John.
Yeah, it is. Harry Potter or Fantastic Beasts? I'm gonna go straight up. I haven't gotten into either one of these, and I know it's probably blasphemy to say that about Harry Potter, but I do know more about Harry Potter, so I'm just gonna simply pick Harry Potter because of the glasses and the wizardry.
I have not seen a single Fantastic Beasts movie, so I can't go with that. Right, so I'm gonna go with. J.K. Rowling and all of her trash aside,
given
Harry Potter, and the reason is because I was a teacher, so I read that whole series with my students, in the fashion of, oh my gosh, when's the next book coming out, right? So literally reading it in the moment as it's coming out, as opposed to I have all of them and I can consume them whenever I want. And so that was just a really awesome experience to have with young people that were the age that book was targeted to, and to just be able to have conversations with them, right? And so it was just a really cool time to witness and experience that book when it came out for young people, but also like to not binge it, to be able to like have to wait and have conversations and be like, oh my gosh, when are they gonna come? I'd be on a train with this big book, right? Like I could care less. I gotta read my book. I gotta get into it. And those books were thick. So that was a little bit of weight. It was like a workout to take that to and from work on the subway. So I'm gonna go with Harry Potter.
Nice. John, did you go?
Yeah, I said Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. All right. I'm gonna probably go Harry Potter as well. I did the more movie. I went the movie route and I saw everything, brought my kids through it with me. That was the one movie that we could actually sit down and gallivant with, until one of my daughters broke my heart and said, after we watched the Phantom Menace, she says, Dad, why do they wear sweatpants all the time? I'm like, what? So like I said, Harry Potter was the one where we could hold it together. Like, yes, we got this. All right, next item on the list here. John?
Okay, next this or that. More movies. Alien or Predator? I'm going to go first real quick because
go ahead.
A couple years ago, for some reason, I must have been bored, COVID. I don't know what it was. And I said, you know what? I'm going to watch Alien. It's from like the late 70s. And it was so intense and so good. And I'm like, I'm watching all the Aliens. Screw it. So I just started watching all the Alien movies. And it's funny how that first movie is so classic. And the other movies are more like Hollywood. Like, hey, we're going to make blockbuster movies and less focus on the story and more about the aliens. But despite all that, I think Alien is just the original Alien. Such a great movie. I'll go with Alien.
Alien. Nice. Yeah. Berta?
It's Alien. There? Come on. Sigourney Weaver, give me a break. Listen, listen. And like you said, when that first one came out, look, okay, right, if you watch it now, it's still intense, but you know, all the CGI and stuff that you could do now. But when I tell you, if we have a badass character that is a woman carrying a film and a franchise on her beautiful back from that first one, amazing. And I agree with you. I think that, I just think it was one of those moments where they didn't expect it to be what it was. So they were making a movie on a, you know, on not like your $1 million budget, just on a budget. And sometimes those are the best things, right? Because it was really about the movie and the characters. And so, yes, I'm Alien and Sigourney Weaver all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a little torn because obviously I grew up a horror movie kid and I still am an adult now. And so these are both in my my every October horror movie month. I'm watching these movies. These like to start off the month. And knowing the characters, knowing the actors, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sigourney Weaver, you know, it's just like one of his movies. So I must go with Sigourney because it takes on some of them scenes. That parenting instinct comes in. You know, she doesn't have a daughter. She has now Newt and aliens, actually. Mm-hmm. And then basically when the one scene where they're coming off the ship and the alien clapped onto the ship and all of a sudden it's an alien on the main ship. And then she's like, get out of here. You know, she's saying stuff I can't say right now, but leave my daughter alone pretty much. Like, all right. So those scenes was like,
she's intense. A badass.
Yeah, that's intense right there. So I'm going to go alien as well. I'm going to go alien on that.
Love it.
All right. What we got next, Johnny?
Next, this or that. We have two more left on this or that. Annabelle or Chucky? Annabelle is. I'm sorry.
Who's Annabelle?
Annabelle the doll, the horror movie. See,
I'm not a horror. I'm not.
Oh,
horror.
You don't do. Oh.
I'm horrified. And that Chucky doll. I know who you're talking about. Chucky is horrifying. Chucky. Okay, do you hear me? Like Chucky? No, absolutely not. Chucky and me, we getting into real scrappy. I'm kicking him in his face. All the things. Like I'm horrified of Chucky. I don't even know Annabelle. Who's Annabelle? Do I want to know Annabelle?
It just say if you obviously Annabelle is a beast, obviously, because she's matched up with Chucky. So.
She's a little doll. She's a doll, Verda.
But she could do some damage from a movie horror standpoint.
Too, right? Like, yeah. No.
Here, Verda, you want to get scared? Check the private chat. Here's a picture. This is Annabelle.
Right, little nasty, this is crazy looking dog.
I'll go with Chucky.
Oh my gosh! Are you kidding me? Oh, Lord.
That's Annabelle.
Annabelle is horrifying.
Exactly. There you go.
I think if I had to scrap it out with somebody, I'm taking Chucky. I think Annabelle will like literally. She will take my next born, my first born, all of them from every previous and future generation. No, I am not messing with it.
She's a curse. She is a curse, so she can't do that.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, man, it's a creepy doll. So it sounds like Chucky for you then, huh? Because you know.
I don't want either of them. I just know Chucky. I'm just going to go with the scary doll that I know.
Got you.
I know he got that little knife, right? The little red hair.
He got anything. Yeah, so that's hilarious. My pick here, because I'm both, like, again, I'm a horror movie guy. They're both all-stars in the kill game of horror movies. They're Hall of Famers. They put people down. And I'm going to bring on the new school stuff with, even though Chucky, I could always reminisce on Chucky days. You know, I went to see the first Chucky when I turned 12. My mom came with me, so she let me watch that on my hot birthday. But I'm going to go Annabelle. I'm going to go new school. She's like a Tom Brady of killing folks in horror movies. You know, she don't miss, you know, makes it happen. Oh, so what we got here? We got a couple more or one more?
One more left. One more in this or that.
All right.
Okay. Verda, final this or that. Maze Runner or The Hunger Games? I have not seen The Maze Runner, so I'm going to choose The Hunger Games. It's a very classic book/movie. So I will go The Hunger Games.
I don't know if I saw The Maze Runner either, but I'm going Hunger Games because I actually just a couple of weeks ago, months ago, watched all of the Hunger Games. So I had not watched all of them and I hadn't read the books. I had only seen the first one. And so my daughter was like, what planet are you on? You haven't seen all of them yet? I'm like, no, but you know. So I binged them and I have to go with Hunger Games because Katniss, like one, just who Jennifer Lawrence is as just an actress in the world and just a human being. Like, I just appreciate her. She's really just so herself, so straightforward. And then I think that that carries over into her portrayal of Katniss in these films. And I really just genuinely appreciated it. I feel like why I never watched like all of Hunger Games is because all of these kind of like notions of like pitting kids against each other to kill each other. Like, you know, it's kind of like, it gives me like Lord of the Flies energy. It gives me like, you know, all of that. It's kind of like an, it's an odd concept. But what I appreciated is her strong desire throughout all of that to never be overtaken by what happens when we get into these moments, both her and the other main character, you know, to not like let that take over who we are as people. So just something about like that element of human nature, winning out over the like, you know, kill or be killed thing. So,
yeah. So yeah. I love it. And so and I'm definitely Hunger Games as well, because that's when I did my first year of student teaching. So shout out to DePere High School. And it was seventh and eighth grade. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Freshman year, sophomores, in a class, and we read the English class, and we read Hunger Games. So I knocked them out. And so I love the story. And like, for all the same reasons, pretty much you said right there, it shows, you know, now a new heroine, a new hero, and how standing up and bucking things like we're talking about, kind of the theme of the show. Boom. There you go.
Wait. So you were an English teacher?
I was basically student. So I did student teacher, but my area was geography.
Look at me finding out something new today.
Coaching as well.
Another connection, because I was a teacher as well. Look at that.
So yeah. John, what about yourself? Where you at?
What you picking?
I went with the Hunger Games because it's the only one I've seen.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yep. Yeah. But but some of the chat there makes me want to watch Maze Runner or the Divergent series.
I agree.
Series. Yeah.
Yep. All right.
All right. Moving on. And now we got now this one doesn't have an audio. It's just now we're going into our quick hit news bites. No audio for me to imitate there. I will start this thing off here with going into the business side of things now into the industry. So Razer, you know, with the Razer company, the big good company there that puts out peripherals, headsets,
yeah,
I think mouse and keyboards.
Chairs too, actually.
Yeah, a few other things here. Mm-hmm. So they are now having to, you know, remove N95 grade from Zephyr mask marketing. So the issue here is the company has to take down, they made a mask that's obviously part of, you know, what we're doing with dealing with the COVID, with the pandemic right now. But it was potentially might have said something. So the company's website initially read that Zephyr and the Zephyr Pro features replaceable N95 grade filters for daily protections. And the wording on the site has since been changed to remove N95 reference and now reads as replaceable air filters on a daily protection. Because obviously, I mean, with this, you know, just having the information right for the people that are obviously using the mask from that standpoint, because we all know what we're dealing in the world, and you want to make sure that the product you're using or whatever you're doing that it is, I say, is working the proper way. So just the company getting, I say, checked in a sense to make sure they're doing their job right, basically.
Yeah, and being safe, right? And I think we're finding out things every day. And so I think, right, because I actually was like cleaning out masks, and there was a period of time where my mom, she loves to craft and make things. Shout out to my mom. Mm-hmm. And she was making masks at one point, right? And then, but then we learned that like the cloth ones aren't as good as this, and like just how to protect yourself. So yes, getting checked, and good that they changed it, quite honestly, right? Because,
Now, guys, I don't know if you wear, like, I have a KN95 mask, supposed to filter up to 95%. The N95 are kind of like that medical grade, and so they have to take it off. And I get it. It's probably just somebody, like, saying, hey, it's like an N95, not realizing we actually can't do that because it hasn't been certified by the right governing body or whatever. But, Aman, I sent you the link to the Razer website. these masks, these are not like what you would imagine. Like, I'm going to slide my mask on. These things right. look like you're heading into a spaceship. And there are like air purification filters with two-way protection. It's like this thing is, these right. things are massive. They actually look kind of cool.
I'm trying to load it up right now. It's buffering. It's buffering on me right now.
These things are crazy, man. And if they're just as good or almost as good as an N95, like look at this thing Amon's about to paste here. Look at these masks. These masks.
He's going slow. There we go.
Here we go. Look like something out of the future.
Come on.
Out of Predator. Buffer.
Let's go.
Okay.
We're on time here.
As long as the internet works.
I know, right?
It should be working. It better be working. Come on. Well, pop up. There it is. Boom.
There it is.
Okay. Look at that. Looks like Cyberpunk character.
Yeah.
I played the game. You know.
I haven't.
Or Fallout.
It's a fun mask. I mean, I get it. I think it's going to protect you. I think like you said, they just have to take that claim off of it. Yeah. So
imagine if I bought one and I went to Target just to pick up groceries.
I'm wearing that thing. Send us screenshots. Send us selfies. Yeah.
People will be looking at you there.
It's lighting up. It's got the lights and everything.
All right. So I couldn't get your,
that's pretty cool.
Share in there, John. So what is your quick news hitting bites of the week?
This is from BGR.com. One of the biggest PlayStation 5, it's going to be on PS4 as well, but one of the biggest PlayStation 5 games of the year had some screenshots leaked online, which is kind of interesting because that's kind of the new way of, we see movie leaks or whatever like that. And it's just like screenshots or gameplay of a game is kind of the same thing. Horizon, Forbidden West, those have leaked online. And in fact, it's gotten a lot of people online saying those must be accurate screenshots of the new game because Twitter has removed the screenshots on behalf of the copyright holder. So it's kind of one of those things they're like, oh, it must be real because the copyright holder doesn't want these screenshots leaked. But, you know, if I'm that company, I'm thinking to myself, hey, everybody gets to see our game. Like it's not, it doesn't look bad. It's not like you're showcasing your game in a negative way. I don't know if there's anything exactly wrong with it, but they want to kind of control their own narrative.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it makes me wonder if some of that one, you know, there's this theory that any press is good press, like to your point, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe they leaked it. Hot take.
A little birdie told me that they're actually sometimes in some industries they do that.
Exactly.
So I won't give up my source, but I'll just say that is a true statement spoken.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then do they also then come back? So that's a great point. Like they just leak it themselves. And then to make it look more like a leak, you come back and say, hey, take those down right away.
I did not authorize that. But oops, now we're trending.
Right. I like that. Now we're true. I love that. Right there. That's probably hilarious.
I'm totally gonna use that technique on anything I release podcast wise or anything I try to do in the future. I'm just gonna leak something and be like, hey, take that down.
Because I feel like the reason that I went there first is like what was leaked is beautiful. So like what you're seeing, it's not like somebody was in the back of the room with their little camera, like, oh, look at this, you know, with their like camera phone. And it's like a terrible image. It's actually quite beautiful. So it just makes me think about that a little bit. I'm not saying that that's you. Allegedly. I'm just saying allegedly so I could put anything, you know, don't come over here and trying to like, you know, sue me or anything. I'm just saying that's my hot take and I'm sticking with it.
Oh, man. I love it. All right, so now you get to get entertained by another soundbite by my Amon Green here. Okay. So, game releases. Here comes the game. Game releases. How was it?
I love it.
It's a dog.
Oh, I forgot the dog. Oh,
it's a dog.
There we go.
I can't wait till Berta actually hears the real soundbites.
Oh my gosh, to compare I can't them. Wait either.
Oh my god. So yeah. So my game release of the week. It's some fun games out, actually. When I looked on the list, and then we'll bring you into this conversation too, Bert, of course. But it was some fun games on it. And I'm gonna go actually. So John, I believe you're up first.
Okay.
Yeah, I can go first. But some fun, it was two fun games because the games that I've looked at both of our video that's about to go up here that they're almost similar in gameplay. It looks very fun. So very fun.
So the way I choose my game release of the week is Amon sends out this list every week, and I choose the one. I just go straight up on title. Like, ooh, that sounds fun. What is that about? Right. And then I research the game from there, and I find out whether or not it is worth it. So Mushroom Wars 2 is what I went through, right? I mean, you see a game called Mushroom Wars, you're like, what is happening?
What's that about?
Enemy tribes of feisty mushroom creatures face off in this short but fierce RTS battles. So you step into the shoes of a fearless mushroom commander. Kind of looks like Toad, you know, from Mario. Mm-hmm. Like if Toad got all redid or remade into this type of general or war type of commander, mushroom commander, choose a hero to lead your army and take control of the battlefield. So it's like a battle game, and they're mushrooms, but they look like the Toad mushrooms. Yeah, there we go.
There
from
you go.
From Super Mario.
And it's on Switch.
Yeah, I see.
There you
it's
go.
Super cute.
You
just... Okay, let me see the other one, and then I'll decide which one I might consider.
Okay. Oh, man, did I put mine?
Oh, you don't have yours? Never mind. That
doesn't
have
to be. Oh, no, I got it. I forgot. Hold up. I just clicked
I think
the
that's
other
a good
side.
Way to choose, because Mushroom Games, I would be intrigued. I would want to know a little bit about what that meant.
Right, so this is my game here. It is Sammy Roll right here. And it looks similar to like a Mario.
That map looked like Super Mario 3.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a Mario type feel. And you see he's jumping around. That's his tongue. Okay, I just want y'all to take note of that. He's flipping around the gameplay area with his tongue. All right, I just want to just put that out there. I just thought that was a little off. But it's a look at the game. You could change outfits there. You can have different, and you're working on unlock modes, but you just got that, another fun game. What is it? A monkey ball.
Super cute.
Like, remember monkey ball?
I do. You're
the monkey, you're in a singular ball, and you're like trying to stay on the map. It's similar to Fall Guys a little bit.
Right.
Oh, okay. So it has that feel. And like, these are the games that I like to play
that's cute.
You know what? It's time to chill. You know, I'm going to just have a chill day, play a game. You know, if I'm going to fall off 1,000 times, that's okay. We're just going to keep hitting the A button and keep saying go. So
they're both adorable. I think that the tongue is a little bit much. Like he's literally playing that whole game with his tongue out. So I might go with Mushroom Wars just because it's called Mushroom Wars. And it's shorter. And it's on the Switch. Is that on the Switch?
Yes, it's on Switch.
Oh, see? I don't know. Yeah. I probably won't play either of them. As we have established, I have a backlog. So, like, what am I really going to... When do I really have time to get to those?
Right. I'm with you. I got a little backlog right now. I got, like, 4 or 5 games deep. Like,
but
man,
they're
I want to play...
I think they're super cute.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just one of those things there. So now we got another audio clip for you. What's on stream? What's on stream?
It's going to be a whole reel of just these sounds, please. I will be going personally to clip those myself after.
I was going to say, I'm going to be sorting through the audio, Verda. I'm going to be, you know, isolating these sound bites.
Grabbing sounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so okay. We got some good stuff coming at you. I'm going to start it off, John, here. And, it is a movie it's a series on Netflix that I've been hearing about for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And finally, I did it.
Let's
start watching. Me and the wife start watching season one now. We just wrapped getting close to the end. Uh-huh. So now we're in season 2 of The Witcher that is on Netflix. So
are you glad you took the plunge?
Yes, I'm glad I took the plunge. I'm sitting here like this movie or this series. I mean, it's a horror game in itself, but it's an RPG, but you have the RPG elements, you know, that are in the movie now.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's live action. You got basically Superman playing Geralt, and he is slaying folks, doing his thing, so he's like a mercenary out there, you know, in the world he's in, fighting demons and monsters and
how many
fun things like
it?
That.
How many seasons? That's one of my determining factors. How many seasons are there?
It's right now at the moment 2 that you can watch, and 3 is on the way.
And is it going to keep going or is it ending at any point?
It's only 3 games, so it's a trilogy game. So they might do it where it's just 3 seasons of the actual TV show. So
Yeah, that's been on my radar too. Lots of people are talking about this.
Yeah.
Since he's the Witcher, you know, he's in the witch community, so he has those power. He has certain powers he can inflict on folks when he's in battle.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's pretty cool. Good story. And so the game, every time a friend would mention, "Hey man, play The Witcher, you will like it," because they know I like horror games, RPGs. I'm like, all right. Now, so if they brought that thing to the big screen, basically, I'll say this is a good game here.
Yeah.
Good game now. Good series. Very good series on Netflix. You got sorcerers. You got dragons. You got werewolves.
In the chat, Eeyore 53235 said that they may do more than three seasons because they're kind of deviating from the game and the series a little bit. Like, so they have an opportunity to like kind of take it further than the books and the games, I guess.
Oh, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
That's fun.
That's fun.
So next up, full disclosure, John has been delving into the whole Bitcoin world and crypto. So this right here does not surprise me. So I'm like, yep, he is living in that space right now. Mm-hmm. So we'll get on to Cryptopia.
It's actually on Amazon.
Oh, it's on Amazon. So here's
So
as we know, it's changing the world.
This is a documentary, and it was recommended to me by a friend of mine, and I finally got around to it. It's from 2020. It's on Amazon. It's called Cryptopia, but it basically is trying to explain to you cryptocurrency, blockchain, the future of the internet, as written there on the title. And I'm going to be honest with you. I am going to have to watch this again. and I got to have that information soak in one more time, because there are people – see, this is the best part of it. They kind of see this graphics. They explain cryptocurrency in these graphics that has made more sense to me than anything I've ever read about cryptocurrency in the last year. And these graphics explain to you exactly what's happening and exactly why this technology is so popular right now, and why and how many uses it could have. And there are other people on the other side that say, hey, this is going to create some whole new thing that you guys aren't ready for. But I have to watch it again. It's pretty interesting. You're going to have to concentrate if you want to watch Cryptopia.
Okay. I'm definitely involved in understanding this. I think I understand it better than some, but not as good as most. And so I am intrigued by this, but it made me think of, I'm actually going to try to pull it up on my phone. There's actually a game that I downloaded that has to do with crypto and NFTs. That's just like kind of fun. It's called Thetan Arena. I'm going to put it in the chat. And it's kind of a fun way, I think, if you want to also play a game that's getting into it. It could just be fun. So I'll find it in a minute. And yeah, I'm down with learning. But how long is it? That's also a factor.
No,
you like all my questions. I was like, how many seasons? How long is it? Okay.
It sounds like three seasons. You're done after that. Is that okay?
Yeah, I kind of. So that's a commitment, you know, like it's a really it's a commitment.
Man, my wife did the same thing. She like gets to like season five and she's like, I'm done. If they can't finish the story in season five, I'm moving on. I'm like, we got seasons to finish. She's like, no, you got to do it on your own. I'm like,
and I think the thing about, I was talking to someone just the other day about how, so because I am, my birthday is next month, I will be 50 years old, that I lived at a time when the internet was called the information highway. And it was just in like emails that we were getting, or the information highway is coming. Like that's the dumbest name ever, but that's what they were calling it, right? The information highway. We didn't know what are you talking about? Right. So I lived at a moment where something that was like what crypto is, it's this idea that you don't actually know how it's going to unfold, but it's a real, real thing, because we lived at a time where the internet was not real. Like, right. We could maybe envision, because they still had like teleconferencing or whatnot, but like this whole thing. Right. And this is the moment right now. And so I just encourage, I'm glad that you put that on there just for learning. I encourage people to just learn about it, because it's here. It's not going anywhere. Right. And so why not learn about what it is? And don't stay wrapped in a place where you're just like, it's not possible. And we need people that see the kind of pitfalls in it to be thinking right now about how to make it like a really great place. Because what we don't want to do, and this is like full circle, create another industry where there's not representation of people, or that we replicate behavior that we see in our own monetary system. Because that's, I mean, like in our like IRL dollars, right? Like it's still that's already happening in the crypto space, right? When you look at the percentages of who's represented there as well. So I encourage people to learn about it, talk about it, and figure out if you want to get engaged and involved with it, figure out the ways that you can, because I think the possibilities are infinite.
I think that's well said. By the way, what you were talking about, Thetan Arena, Thetan Arena, Thetan Arena, if anybody else was wondering.
Oh, I'll put it in our chat too. I put a link to it over there.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to bring you in the conversation. So you've seen that and talked about that movie. What movies or TV series are you into right now?
I told you I'm committed to Daredevil right now. Like the one that I'm like just trying to get through. But I totally did like all the Marvel in the order that you're supposed to do it. That was like me and my twin sister did that as our kind of like COVID, like communal activity. So we like watched it not in the order of release, but in order of like character, how you should like watch it. Right. So we did that. And then I actually did without even realizing, I don't know, like I love The Matrix. I didn't realize they were doing another one. And that's probably for a whole nother conversation, whether or not you should watch that. But I'm like diehard Matrix. Like remember the moment I was in the theater, I was in Magic Johnson Theater. Oh no, I wasn't actually. I was in a theater in the Bronx by Co-op City. I remember. And I literally remember the moment that I saw Neo and Trinity and they got those black suits on and they went through the metal detector and just that scene is like emblazoned in my mind. Like what is happening is how I felt in that movie theater. And so I love, love, love The Matrix. And so I rewatched all three of them actually in November. And then someone was like, oh, did you know that the fourth one is coming out? So I did watch it. That's probably a conversation for another time.
Hey, we could do a whole stream on that.
You know? So I did that. But right now, like I said, it's like, it's Daredevil is what I'm just like committing to. Cause I can only do one thing at a time. So I got like, you know, got a job, got kids, got things I got to do. So I have to like say, okay, how long am I going to commit to that? So Daredevil is it right now.
Good series. I watched that. I was able to finish that before. So where are you watching it at? Because I thought is it on Netflix or is off?
It's on Netflix still.
Oh, I will go back and see.
It's still on Netflix. Yeah,
definitely watch that as well. So good series. Yeah. Good series. Good stuff to get into. So I want to say a big, big thank you for doing this show. This has been probably one of our best shows in a while, and great information sharing. This stating your points and your opinions about everything. It was a fantastic experience, like usual, because we've been doing this for about 7 months now.
Exactly.
We were together at the Mage, Mid-American Gaming Expo that I did across the river from my hometown in Council Bluffs to Omaha. So since then, and planning up other stuff, but it's been fantastic. That's all I have to say. Fantastic. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for now becoming a part of the Greenies and John Cass and what we do in life. And then I hope everything goes great for you and your family for the new year. Again, happy new year. And thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So this is Will. Oh, sorry. I did all that to do this. follow me on Twitter and Instagram at AmonGreen30 on Twitch. There you go. And then Verta. Where can people I'm all messed up today. Where can people can find you in your socials and website?
It's at The Game Hers everywhere. That's GAMEHERS in all of the places. So we're all of those Instagram, Twitch, TikTok, Twitter, and then I'm just at Verta in most places, or at Verta Maloney. There's not many. Once you type it and you get to the Verta M part, literally I pop up. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but just naming it.
There you go. And check out The Game Her apps.
Download our app. Go and download The Game Hers app. It is available. It's called The Game Hers app. We kept it simple. You can download it for iOS and for Android. And it's only available in the US and Canada right now, though. So just if you have international folks here, just so you know, we're working on that.
This has been a blast.
And hopefully we will see each other again. Thank you so much. And wonderful to spend time with you too, John.
Thank you, John. And then, John, you let everybody know where they can find you, because you also do a podcast.
Yeah, that's right. I've got a podcast of my own too, at JonCast Podcast. That's JonCast Podcast. It's on Instagram. It's on Twitter. At John Audius Radio is my main Twitter account as well. It's a lot of sports related podcasts, but I also like to kind of branch off and talk about whatever I want to talk about. And I'm starting a store of cool stuff at my website where I'm putting up stuff that I think is cool that you should probably have, t-shirts and things of that nature, sports cards and other things like that. So that's what's going on with me. Thanks, Iman.
All right. So everyone, thank you for coming in, the Greenies. And you have another Greenie inducted now. Verda Maloney here is a Greenie for life. So we will be back next week. You know, same time, same bat channel, Wednesday, 11 a.m. And right now it's just me and John coming back to you. Hope everyone have a great rest of your week. And again, Happy New Year.